1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Last week we went through just the first three verses. Today I plan on going through verses 4 through 11. Last week we looked at the fact that we are of the day because we know all about the things that are going to come. We know that we'll escape the wrath of God. We know that the rapture will happen, and we won't see any of those things that are coming upon the world. That is so settling for anybody that doesn't believe in the rapture of the church. I don't know what to say to them. That they're looking for something. They're looking for hope, and where there's no hope. But today we're going to look at verses 4 through 11, but we're going to read from verses 1 through 11 to put it together. But, I think 2 weeks ago I stayed right on that but, you know, for the whole message about people being ignorant of God. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And Lord, we just pray that you would add your blessing upon your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I like it starting in verse number 4 or verse 5. This amazing part of the verse. Ye are all the children of the light. Actually, I want to start with verse 4. Last week we covered verses 1 through 3, so I skipped a verse. Verse number 4, but you're not like those in the night. You're not going to worry about the thief in the night because you're children of the day. Thieves are more brazen today where there's been an increase of breaking and enterings during the day, but by and large, people do those things at night. Under cover of darkness, when they don't think they can be seen. Ring cameras have changed that somewhat as well. But yet, sin and blindness are all products of the dark. You know, have you ever tried to compare the darkness with the light? Just physical. You know, it's amazing how much more you can see and do during the day, especially as you're getting older, than you see at night. Amen? So these things are of the day. He says, but this is opposed to those who will be in that day of the Lord. They'll be in that day of the Lord because of their darkness, because of their ignorance, because of their refusal to trust the Lord. And salvation is easy. Amen? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And how many times have you heard that sounds too easy for me? Amen? Well, if it's so easy, why don't you believe? Why? It's in here. It's hardness. It's being ignorant. It's looking at those things in the world rather than the things of God. It says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. There's a position out there called the partial rapture. of the church. This position says only those who are living a holy life will be raptured. What standard are they using? They're using the standard of the law, obedience to the law. Just go back and read Romans chapter 3, you'll see, and chapter 4, and chapter 5, while you're at it, of the book of Romans, you see that we can't, salvation does not come through the works of the law, it's by Christ Jesus. It's through faith. It says, but ye brethren. How do you become a brethren or a sisterin? Is that a word? I don't know. You become a brother in Christ by believing the gospel. It's upon believing the gospel that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again according to the scriptures that instantly, not me, hope somebody else. I like this. You could play name that tune. I thought it was the kids downstairs, so. But where was I? Oh yeah, brethren and sisters. Yeah, there we go. It says, but ye brethren. Typically people will take their neighbor's mail and read it for themselves and say, this belongs to me. I think I used an example with Kathy Rowe one time. I said, if you happen to get a light bill that was for $500 after you open the bill, you'd realize, oh, this belongs to my neighbor. There's no way that two or three of us use $500 worth of electricity. So what happens is people will, with the partial rapture, they'll take like the Olivet Discourse, which talks about the day of the Lord and the restoration of the kingdom. They'll use that as a marker for how for holiness for people. They'll use that law. But it says, but ye. You can be saved. You could believe the gospel this one minute, and the next minute you could reach the end of your life. Are you saved or not? Amen. Absolutely saved, because it's a gift of God. No time to work things out. No time to get right with God and repent of all your sins and deal with all those things, even though people will do it. So that it holds no merit. Immediately, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. We have the adoption in Romans chapter 8, where we'll have our redeemed bodies. The adoption, Romans 8:23, the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Every person who has believed the gospel has those promises. All those promises of God, based on belief. Based on a gift that God has given. Now, you may ask yourself, so what do I do for a gift? You do nothing. It's a gift, right? Do you earn a gift? No, it's not a gift if you earn it. Now, what do you do with a gift? You either take it or reject it. So you take the gift, you have the gift of salvation, and that's your eternal destiny is secure from that moment. So this notion that only the righteous and holy will go in the rapture, it's so off, because it's all based, that's based on law and not salvation being a gift of God. So ye brethren, and the ye right there, it's plural, talking to everybody there in Thessalonica, ye brethren are not in darkness. What is the darkness? The darkness is those people who will not recognize the day of the Lord. They'll be eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and all these different things found in the Olivet Discourse. They won't recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ had already come. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. That's a pretty strong thief. He's not only stealing, he's overtaking everything. He's getting the advantage. But yet, that's what happens. In the world today, you know, so many are looking for things in the here and now. Let's look at a few verses here. The greatest example of being children of the day is compared with our old lives. You know that before you were saved, you were children of darkness? Amen. You did what you want, when you want it, where you want it, how you want it. You know, I have a picture I took at the dollar store. I didn't want to spend $1.25 plus tax on this thing. It's a puzzle book of puzzle meditations. And I'll try to remember what it said. It says, remember that it's okay to color outside of the lines. That's the modus operandi of much of life today. Do your own things. So I'm going to try this sometime. I'm going to be on the way to work. And remember, I was just a couple weeks ago about ignorance. I used the example of that giant no turn on red. I'm going to go up to that light, and I'm going to say, that does not apply to me. I feel like it's okay to disobey the rules and regulations of the road. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till there's a police officer behind me or next to me. I'm going to go on red and wait till he stops me. And I'm going to say, but officer, I don't identify with that law. How far would I get? And they'd be slapped the cuffs on me right away. But that's the whole world is going in that direction. I don't need rules and regulations. I don't need limitations. And then you'll hear this. You put God in a box. No, God has us in a box. I was talking to somebody at work that was telling me about, you know, not believing the truth, and there was a post on Facebook about experience. You need to have something you can experience. I probably shouldn't have said this. I said, well, you can try to jump off the Empire State Building and see if you can experience gravity. I couldn't remember it. And it wouldn't fare very well. And you drop and go, I don't think this was the right thing to do when it would be too late. Unlike some superheroes, hero movies where somebody could fall off the 100th floor of a building, hit a flagpole, and get up and walk away. You know, it's not like that. But there are boundaries in the world where we are in a world of systems. Right? But people will disobey God and have their own way. I used to argue with my wife's grandmother all the time. She'd tell me that there's many ways to get to heaven. And she was a devout Catholic. So I opened up Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It said, by grace are ye saved and through faith, and that is a gift of God. You know what she told me? She said this, I'll give the best grandmother voice. I almost went ballistic. So you're calling Apostle Paul a heretic? I don't care if it was the Pope that said that. I said, as a matter of fact, I think the Pope has said that. But he doesn't mean it. But that's the way the world is. That's the world will hold on to anything but the truth that we have in the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, for you were sometimes darkness. I used to think that, yeah, pretty much light off most of the time, just sometimes. But that sometimes means in the past times. Darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. There goes my argument with the police about disobeying the law. Some to walk as a child of the light. And do those things that are lawful in the world and those things that are good to do. Colossians 1:13 says, who is, Jesus, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So when you become saved, when you trust the gospel, you're taken out of that kingdom of darkness. Now you're in the kingdom of light. Now you can see clearly, just like the Johnny Nash song. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. You have clear vision. Without the Word of God, without salvation, you're going to see just like those others. You're going to put up with the thief. You're not going to see him coming. John 8, verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of love." Or the light of life. I was going back to an old song that I remembered in the early 70s for a second there. The light of love. And then we have the millennial kingdom. This light, as well as in the New Jerusalem, when the New Jerusalem comes down, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26, says, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, and the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound." In other words, it's going to be great. You think of what happens with the promised land. It's going to be the land of milk and honey. The growing conditions are going to be great. But then we go forward a little bit, or a lot of it, depending on how you look at it. Revelation chapter 21, the New Jerusalem, says that, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which were saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." So we see at the end, you see the nations of the world will walk in the light of the New Jerusalem, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory. Today we have that light. That light's been revealed in the face or the person of Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus is that personification of light. You can go back and do a whole review of John chapter 1. Right? He was the true light that came into the world and darkness comprehended it not. He was rejected by his own, but those that received him, the power to become the sons of God. Today we have the gospel message. We have that light. We have great light. This light that's been preserved from generation to generation. We have in the Bible. We need no other light. We don't need that coloring book where you color outside of the lines. We have something right in the very Word of God where we can understand and grow in that. Let's go to back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." Like that ye, just the Thessalonians and we, all together. Verse number 6, "Therefore," we know the rule about a therefore or a wherefore. We see what it's there for. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Don't sleep. Does this mean that, I'm going to lay down my head to rest? I'm not going to get any physical sleep. I need my 7 hours or so each day. This is spiritually speaking. We're not going to sleep as those others. We're going to pay attention. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We have the full revelation of God through His Word. The mind of Christ is accessible to all believers through the Bible and the Holy Spirit of God. That's a wonderful thing. As you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you grow in that mind. There are many sleepy Christians out there that just go along to get along. They go through life without fellowship, without with God and with others. Many just go along to get along. Church I go to is fun. I can't guarantee fun, but we're going to use the Bible. Many people say, well, they have lots of things for the kiddies to do. Are they teaching the truth? That's the main thing. They go along to get along rather than being Bereans, checking to see if everything they hear is true. Through the Bible, they'll use what feels good, what sounds good, what looks good. It's amazing how if we put some laser lights up and promise a fun time, we can attract, we can pack this place in, we can go on a multi-million-dollar building spree. It's not going to happen. People need the Word of God. That's what we need. Even with our finite human position we're in, we need the Word of God. It's our necessary food. That's what Job said. It's my necessary food, the Word of God. Instead of hearing and singing how great thou art, the focus is on human greatness. How great I art, rather than God. I heard something this week, and I actually wrote a blog on it. I can't find my other sheet to find the title here. YouTube autoplay can be wonderful. And other times it's not so wonderful. I heard a message that came on that was about how you can have a glorious life. I'll admit, I have a glorious life, but it's only because of what Christ has done. Our lives aren't so glorious, are they? In the physical. We're all broken, beaten, all these different things. And I thought to myself, well, how did they get this? They came from Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 11 to 14. If I can find the beginning of what I had. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Right? This is our predestination, is that we should be to the praise of His glory. Right? When we believe the gospel, we're trusting in His glory, we're trusting in His work. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. See, all glory and honor go to the Lord for His work, for His changing us, His purchasing of us. Now, I'm going to read from, don't throw anything at me, from the Message. At least the speaker said it's a paraphrase and not a Bible. And here's how it goes, and you can throw things at me if you want. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. I heard that and went, what? If I could get louder, I would. What? The old TV show, what you talking about, Willis? Had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit This signet from God is the first installment of what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. If I were to sum up the purpose-driven life, that would be summed up right there. It's all about the here and now. It's all about who has the most toys wins. That's what's happened. And people just go along to get along with that kind of message. Does it glorify God? Who does it glorify?
Nobody.
Yeah. And nobody except for me, 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 me. What can I get? And when I listen to it, I say, we need to stop being so selfish and narcissistic. I yelled back at him, I don't think you could hear. You're being selfish and narcissistic if you think these scriptures are all about your life now. But, I would say, I could partially agree that if we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and understand who He is and understand who we are in Him, it makes for life to be a lot sweeter than it would be without. That much I'll give you. But the focus of the church, of the focus of the Bible, isn't so that you can have a glorious life. It's about Jesus Christ and the glorious life that He laid up on our behalf. Eternity is what's in focus in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. I feel like I skipped something, but I don't think I did. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Be sober, be in balance, not overcome with the things of the world. But have a balanced look at things in life. Be attentive. You know what happens, the analysis of drunkenness, what happens when somebody is drunk and not sober is they lose all sense of reality. Right? They can't make right decisions. So let us be sober. Let's be balanced. Let's pay attention to the things going on around. Verse number 7 says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. It's true that a lot of things happen in the night. Both sin, which is sleep, physical sleep at night is good to do. Unless you're on a night type schedule when you sleep during the day. It's good. But the sins of the flesh take place at night. Normally when nobody's watching. Yet, we, collectively, are not in the darkness. So what can we do about it? What can we do about our life today in a dark world, but we are not in darkness per se? We're the children of light, we live in the light. What can we do? Verse number 8 says, but let us. Is a great admonition, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. It says, let us. It's what we ought to do. Guess what? If you don't do that, you're position is still settled. You're in Christ still. He says, give what's been given to you. Put on me the armor of God. And you know what? I always say, we always look at the armor of God and we think how alright, just casually put it on. It's a whole package that we possess. All we have to do is utilize it. Just like the Bible. You ever seen the pictures online of the Bible in the dust? And it's sitting on somebody's table to the dust and somebody writes, read me on it?
It's the same thing.
If we don't grow, you know, we're every bit a Christian, but yet we get full benefits when we tap into what the Bible says. Now let's go back to the book of Isaiah for a second. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. I'd love to read all of 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, etc. But Isaiah 59, let's look at verses 16 and 17. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay our recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Anybody see the same battle weapons? Right? A breastplate, it says that righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head, and the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes, taking vengeance upon his enemies. Who's the origin? I still can't think of the words. The full armor of God. Of God. It belongs to God. It's an attribute of God. Right? How do we receive the full armor of salvation? I believe in the gospel. You know, each and every one of us possesses those things. It's like saying my sock drawer has 100 pairs of socks. I have to put one pair on at a time. We possess that armor of God. We possess His righteousness, His holiness, all those things, His salvation, already active in us. Now what do? We put those to use. How do you do that? Study. Show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We study. We get to know Him. We get to realize who He is more and more. Let's go back to First Thessalonians for a second. Oh yeah, I want to go, of course, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong out in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The full armor of God. Just put it on. He doesn't say to go get it. You need to receive it. It's something that we have already through Jesus Christ. Verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, I like to look at that as being the full counsel of God. Take up that everything. Take up the revelation of God. Put it on, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we could say, how beautiful are those that bring the gospel. Right? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You have the whole package. We put on that whole package that God has given us. You do not earn that armor. Verse number 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may openly open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So we have this wonderful, right? Saw a movie where they had Kevlar suits. Got a fiery dart, that Kevlar suit will stop it. But we all have that, not made of Kevlar. It's made from the Word of God. And the God of the world, Word is given to that. How do we walk in light in this present evil world? We walk with the Scriptures. We walk with the Spirit of truth. Having these things, having these weapons that we have already in possession. Amen? Aren't you glad you don't have to take up physical arms? Physically, you might have to. But spiritually, what stops the advances of wrong things? The shield of faith. Your faith. Faith that overcomes the world. Amen? That's a song, isn't it? Let's go down to back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Verse number 9, to attain salvation. Salvation can be looked at in a couple different ways. It can be looked at in this world here to obtain deliverance. No, we're going to be delivered out of this world. Israel will one day be delivered. All Israel will be saved. Right? It's hard to believe in the present state, but one day they will. Does that mean they're all going to be justified by faith? No, the nation is going to be delivered from her enemies when Jesus Christ returns. So there's two ways you look at it, but the next verse number 10, says this, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I have a question. Is Paul talking about physically awake and physically asleep? Or is he talking about being spiritually awake or asleep? My answer is yes. He's talking both. We that are in the light, we don't sleep as do others. But yet there's going to be one time that even people who are Christians will sleep the sleep of death. We saw that in chapter 4, during the rapture. So the two of them together. He died for us whether we wake or sleep. Whether we're alive or dead already, Christ promised to bring those there with him. So it's both. We can be dead, but yet we'll be with the Lord. We can even be sleepy Christians and still alive, and guess what? When the rapture happens, you're going. Talk about an alarm clock when that happens, so think of that. No matter what, as a believer, you're guaranteed that you'll be with the Lord. After all, what part of eternal life isn't eternal? Amen? Pretty simple. Verse number 11. Actually, let's go over to Romans 13 for a second. This deals with a little sleepiness. Romans 13. A little admonition. Let's go down to verse number 11. And those, so you might want to go before that. So now let's go to verse 10. It says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. You can wrap up the whole law by love. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I like that. I was saved about 30 years ago. And my deliverance, my getting out of here is closer and closer. I might not get out of here alive, but I'll be with the Lord. Amen? So either way, when we grow in Christ, Paul's saying, you need to wake up out of sleep and understand what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time, high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. In other words, our life, the closer, the longer you've been saved, the further away is that darkness of the night. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What is that armor of light? Who is light? Jesus Christ. I didn't have the time to go through all the put-ons and put-offs, but put off the old deeds of the flesh. Put on Christ. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. You're putting me on. Right? That's our goal through our life on this earth. Let us walk honestly as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's homework. We go over to Romans chapter 7. It's a good place to go in dealing with the flesh and the disobedience to the law and all those different things. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Well, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you already have. You have all of Christ. He actually has all of you. Amen? That's what we do. We trust the Lord. I know I don't think I tried this with Brianna. I'll talk about her because she's sitting right in the front there. But when she was like 1 and 2 years old, I threw up the ceiling. I turned my back and and ketchup. I just take a little bit of salt. My brother-in-law, when his kids were little, he'd have them in their blankie. That's what they called it, their blanket. And he'd take that blanket and he'd swing it around like Pete Townsend playing guitar. He'd swing them around and his wife would be like, whoa! But yet, those kids were comfortable, even while they were being shaken up like that at the young age. That's how we ought to get with the Lord Jesus Christ. Comfortable in all circumstances. Not comfortable in the fact like, oh, well, whatever, but comfortable in the fact that no matter what, the Lord Jesus Christ is, whether we sleep or whether we're awake. I almost said awoke. I don't want to use that term. That will go along with the coloring outside the lines mentality. But whether we wake, whether we're awake, or whether we sleep, that we do walk soberly. It's not for our benefit, right? It's for the benefit, as we've seen throughout the book of the Thessalonian books, they're for the benefit of others around so they can see Christ. They can have a glimpse of that light as you put Christ on and putting on that armor of light. They may ask one day the reason for the hope that lieth in. That's what it's all about. But yet, what do we have coming up next? Do we have to be afraid of anything? We don't even have to be afraid of Joe Biden. Right? Any minute now, any second now, the rapture could take it. Whether we're awake in here, or whether we be dead and buried. Whether you be spiritually asleep at the wheel, but if you believe the gospel, God will take you. Jesus will take you with him. Amen? What a joy. As I get older, I think, boy, it really is wonderful to be a Christian. Amen? When I was younger, I was like, I don't know if it's that wonderful. But as I get older and knowing more and seeing eternity even closer and closer than it was when I was young and ignorant of those things, it's so refreshing and enjoyable. So I can indeed say it's wonderful to be a Christian. And not because of the glorious life on earth, but for the glorious afterlife. Amen.